contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Enough!
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. It's hour. It's hour two, and I got a chance to say hi to Dale Romans for the first time at the meet, and off he and Tammy went. I saw Tammy last week before I went out of town, but I didn't see Dale at Monmouth. I missed him there, which was strange. We've certainly missed Jay Privman for the last few weeks, but it's home game, as Jay likes to say, and Del Mar off and running, and Jay back from what I imagine. I haven't talked to Jay about it, but I'm anxious to hear about the British Open and a fabulous vacation. Jay, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. Yes, had a nice getaway to Scotland, and now back at my home track, so very, very much looking forward to the rest of the summer.
Tell me about, because that's something. I'm not as avid a golfer as I used to be, but I think it was Mike Welch that tipped the hand about it, and one of those once in a lifetime kind of trips.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't know if you know about the ways of communication in the world these days. There's the telephone, there's the telegraph, and then tell Mike, because he'll tell everybody. you know, some family friends of ours were gracious enough to invite us. We had a nice first class experience there at a corporate chalet, and you know, but we're out on the course both Saturday and Sunday, and you know, obviously it's such an iconic place, you know, to be at St. Andrews and to see that tournament at that course was just really a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
That is cool. I mean, to me, one of the great moments in all of sport, and I don't know if they do it anymore. I really don't watch golf like I did at one time. But that great tradition where the leader, you know, coming up 18, gets engulfed by the crowd, and they move forward and they like pop out of the crowd like a champagne cork. I always loved that.
Yeah, no, they kept just in front of the crowd this year. But yeah, they let them on there, and you can get on the course when it's all over with. So we walked out there on 18 and walked by that famous stone bridge when it was all over. It was great. It was just a nice, it was really a fun thing to be at. And that's why I ended up missing opening day, because we stayed on the back end of that just for a few days of sightseeing in and around Edinburgh. So it was worth it. There's still plenty of Del Mar to go. And we've got a nice weekend coming up here.
Outstanding. I have the same. I basically have the same philosophy. There's you know, 8 weeks of Saratoga, and so if I go to Haskell and then Virginia, and as it turned out, Delaware yesterday, there's still plenty of Saratoga to take in. And boy, Jay, I know you wrote an opening weekend kind of a catch-all recap. What a rousing start to the meet.
No, the inventory here is good, and the racing office here is even better. And they've put together sensational cards every single day so far. I mean, even through what hasn't happened yet, the field sizes and the quality both are terrific for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. In fact, for yesterday when they drew the Sunday card, all nine in the book went, and then they had so much inventory for a couple of the extra races that they just added to. So they're going to run 11 on Sunday. But, you know, most importantly, the book goes. Or, you know, if they don't use the entire book that day, there's maybe one that doesn't get used. And I just think that's such an important thing on so many levels, especially if you're a trainer, because it's just impossible, I think, to train for a race when if a track is hanging up, you know, nine in the book and between subs and extras another 11 or 12, and they're going to run eight of those 21 races, you literally have a less than 50% chance of your race going. And I don't know how guys train into, or gals, you know, women, men or women who train into a race when you don't know if your race is going to go. So, you know, so far here at Del Mar, that's been not an issue. The book goes, or close to goes, you know, it's very close to the whole book going. And I think these guys are on top of what their inventory is, and it's been showing. The handle last weekend, like you were referencing, was terrific. The field size was 10.6 average for the first 3 days combined. It was great, and it's continued.
It you know, even a card like this with, you know, it's got the daisy cutter, but you know, then it's got some kind of meat and potatoes, you know, racing on the slate, and you've got, you know, overflow fields in virtually, you know, virtually every spot. So the framework is there, and you know, the ship and win, the continuity, Jay, that the ship and win concept, you know, now it's kind of in the firmament of people's minds, and the idea to bring a string of ready horses, you know, that can win their first time on the track and for the bonus, it just, you know, it's been a rousing success, and here's more evidence. So a big part of what's going on, and then you fold in the two-year-olds and, you know, the traditional grass racing, Blasi, and you got a formula for great success. Do we want to do any recapping, or do you want to kind of look ahead to the weekend?
It's your show, whatever you'd like to do.
Well, let's go into the weekend, Jay, because there's plenty to discuss. And I, you know, considering that we're going to build up from here to the Breeders' Cup Classic, let's talk about the handicap division and that San Diego, because the arrival, the presence of Mandaloon, that's part of the formula to make you know, races like this more appealing and intriguing.
Very much so. I mean, I know Brad Cox is even flirted with having a division out here. It hasn't quite happened yet, but I think it's going to happen at some point. Mandaloon's here this week. She Dares the Devil is going to come next week to defend her title in the Clement Hirsch. But specifically for the San Diego tomorrow, this is a prep for the Pacific Classic. It's basically the who gets to get pummeled by Flightline Invitational. And you know, Mandaloon, it's just hard to get a line on where he's at right now. You know, he started off the year with his first start off of a long layoff. He won the Louisiana nicely. He beat the ill-fated Midnight Bourbon with a, you know, highest buyer speed figure of his career. He got a 106, and then he just didn't run well at all in the Saudi Cup. And I didn't think his Foster was, you know, maybe. I talked to Florent Giroux. He said he thought maybe he was too close to a hot pace coming off a layoff, and that affected him. But still, he didn't really put up a whole much of a fight. Now, granted, he was running against Olympiad as one of the top older horses in the country, but I'm just not sure where this horse is at right now. And obviously shipping into a track where he's never raced before, he's gone on the road and done well, but there's just a lot of uncertainty for me regarding him. And there's a lot of uncertainty about some others in here as well. I think the distance might be too short for Country Grammar. I think this is kind of a means to an end for him. And I think Tripoli might need a little more distance to be at his best. He ran well in the San Diego last year, but obviously his best race ever was in the Pacific Classic. So you've got some shorter priced horses in here that I think have some potential vulnerability. And the horse I really like in here is Defunded. I thought he ran super in the Gold Cup at a distance probably beyond optimum for him. I think he's far more effective at a shorter distance, and now he cuts back to a mile and a 16th. His mile win prior to this was good, and from a pace standpoint, the race comes up good for him, so I'm going to hang my hat on him.
I like it, and of course, if he should beat the stablemate, we'll have to hear the chorus of the other Baffert.
Or maybe learn how to handicap would be the other chorus.
There is one name, actually a couple of names that I'll just slip in. I was delighted to see that Todd Fincher, who got that maiden breaker yesterday, Todd Fincher with the string, and Senior Buscador comes back for Joe Peacock. This is the Mineshaft 4-year-old out of the unbelievably productive Roses Desert for Peacock, and second off the layoff, and came back and ran very nice race in that allowance win at Lone Star. So he stretches back out to a trip that he's familiar with, Springboard Mile winner. He comes back as a full-fledged 4-year-old at this point. How about Mandela? I saw that you wrote about Soothsay as well for the Clement Hirsch, Jay. But Royal Ship, who certainly has run races that fit, he is 0 for 3 at Del Mar.
Yeah, he's a horse I've never been able to get on, on terms with. I zig when he zags, so he'll probably run well tomorrow because I don't like him. Like you mentioned, he's 0 for 3 at Del Mar. Mandela thinks that the track at Santa Anita was not really to his liking, that he's going to like the firmer track we've got this summer at Del Mar better. But I'm not convinced of that. He's won a few more races than me, so I would take that under advisement. But he's just not a horse that I can back with confidence. You brought up Senor Buscador. I do think he has some jump up potential, and price is going to be, he's going to be overlooked in here. And you mentioned the win that Fincher had yesterday with that, that filly that shipped in, who won, she's now, I think, 8 for 10 lifetime, that New Mexico filly who came in and won that strong allowance race that she was in yesterday. So he's got some live tickets here, and I do think that horse has the potential to jump up and be a factor tomorrow.
Do we know, has Michael McCarthy made the official call with There Goes Harvard?
He is not. He entered him both in this race and in the Eddie Reed on Sunday, and he told me that he's not even certain for either race. There's the chance he's going to go to Churchill Downs and accompany Smooth Like Straight. Smooth Like Straight's going to run in the Arlington Million, and there's a race there for There's Goes Harvard. It might be called the Fort Larned. I didn't look closely at their stakes schedule, but there's a dirt race there that he's looking at potentially for There Goes Harvard there instead. So he's going to see how things shake out this weekend, see if it makes sense to run here based on the field and other factors, and then decide whether to run here Saturday or Sunday or just wait a couple weeks with him.
Interesting, because he's a progressive horse, Jay, right? I mean, win the Gold Cup and it's funny to be in that position where there's still options that McCarthy is considering for him.
Right. I mean, well, they got the Grade One win for him, so you've got that out of the way. So now it's just sort of, all right, what spot works best for him? And they were able to get Irad Ortiz for the Gold Cup. Herrera did ride him to 2 allowance victories prior to that. So I think if they go to the Arlington Million card and run in that Fort Larned or something like that, I mean, all the top jockeys in the country are probably going to be in for that card, including Velasquez, who's already signed up to ride Smooth Like Straight in the Million.
A very intriguing San Diego goes at 9:37 Eastern time, 6:37 Pacific as the 10th race tomorrow. Jay, let's talk about the Grade One and talk to Scott Shapiro earlier, and the you know, we really do have a good grasp on the older horses that are in the handicap division marching toward the classic. The sprint division still is taking shape, and there may be some firmament, at least from the West Coast players, out of this Bing Crosby tomorrow.
Right. I mean, the shape it's taking is, you know, Jackie's Warrior is clearly number one, and then it's a free for all after that, pretty much. Right. Don't know who, the Bing Crosby is a wide open race. It is a win and you're in towards the Breeders' Cup Sprint, so that makes it interesting. The horse I prefer in here is Principe Carlo, who I thought ran a terrific race going 7/8 in the Triple Bend last time. He was close to an extremely hot pace and fought everybody off and just got a real dirty beat by American Theorem, who I think took advantage of the pace situation in that race. And I think the pace comes up better for Principe Carlo tomorrow. He loves Del Mar. He's 3-for-7 here. He did win a stake here during the fall meet when he won the Cary Grant, and that was his first start at Del Mar for his current connections. Now he's back at the track where he really has had one of his biggest wins, and he'll be a square price. John has him at 6-1, which I think is, you know, right where he's going to end up. The other horse in here who obviously, if he can run back to his best old form, is Drain the Clock. He's a hard one to get a feel for, but it looks like he got carved up at a pretty hot pace last time in the Smile, and I'm sure he'll appreciate the cooler weather here. That was his first start since he went to Dubai, so he's quick enough, obviously, on his best day to be, you know, extremely significant in this race. So I prefer them in that order in the Crosby, Principe Carlo over Drain the Clock. I'm going to try and beat some of the other. I think Shaz, I'm not sure he's going to like 6. I think that might be a little abrupt for him, so I'm going to try and beat him.
I was interested in Brendan Walsh invading, something he's done successfully, and bringing Bag Boss. Brendan, not necessarily, you know, known for, you know, for one turn main track stars, but this horse seems to be moving forward at the right time, and sure looks like, from a fig and pace scenario, looks like a fit. So 8-1 appealed to me as well. The Bing Crosby, the grade one, on the card with the San Diego. Jay, I had Brad last week, and I suppose at some point in your career and his that he did the two-year-old advance story, but I don't know when the last time that happened. It's been...
I do. It was a year ago when I was sick.
Well,
was
I mean...
the only time.
Okay, that there you go. There's the answer. I wondered.
Yeah.
I mean, I wondered if there was
ago.
Ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, for your, you know, from your perspective, some of the two-year-olds that you're tracking, either overlapped or, you know, some that have come to light even here in since, you know, getting going.
Well, I'm, you know, because I was going on the trip and because Brad had done the story last year, it just made a lot of sense for him to follow up on it and do it again this year. And I thought he did a super job, like he always does, on everything. It was a very thorough list of the top horses. You know, I didn't do as deep a dive, so I would defer, you know, to, from an overall standpoint, from a macro standpoint, to what he reported in terms of who the ones to watch are this season. You know, that said, you know, from a specific standpoint, tomorrow in race, what race is it? The 6th, which is the Colt Sprint on dirt.
Yes.
You know, there's a really highly regarded Into Mischief colt named Newgate that's going to debut for Baffert and the SF Racing Starlight conglomerate. Then John Velasquez has the mount on him. But I'm not telling anything that anybody couldn't realize, even just by, you know, either looking at the XBTV Works we're looking just at the paper. You know, the horse has a series of fast works out of the gate. He's cost a lot of money as a yearling. He's obviously an extremely well meant horse first time out, but he's, you know, he's certainly one to watch. So I would, you know, I would give him a long look tomorrow from, you know, just if you're just wanting to follow who's the, you know, some of the better ones around here. I think that race came up potentially better than, for instance, the first race on Sunday, which is for, you know, similar types of horses, for colts on the dirt going 5.5. And, you know, Baffert's got a couple in the race Saturday. He's got a couple more in the race Sunday. And you're going to see Giroux riding a lot of his better horses as the meet goes on. And he's on an Uncle Mo debuter on Sunday called Massimo, who, I think is well thought of as well. And also, he's also for the SF Racing Starlight group. As you know, they buy a lot of yearlings, and this is when they start, you know, the more precocious of them start getting rolling right about now.
Jay, you mentioned Sunday in addition the stakes on Saturday. The Eddie Reed, which traditionally has been a favorite of mine and a race that doesn't disappoint, the mile and the eighth on the grass, and it's kind of a fun mix, and including horses like that Cash Equity that Phil D'Amato brings from allowance ranks and an allowance win upstate into this spot, his first North American try. There's Beyond Brilliant. We mentioned, you know, There Goes Harvard being cross-entered. Neil Drysdale has got Homer Screen, the Brazilian that just missed in the American. Really an interesting collection that came together for the Eddie Reed.
Yeah, it's a tough race. I mean, I think you could run this race 10 times and probably end up with 8 different winners. D'Amato, you mentioned with Cash Equity, he's got 4 in here. So he's got a pretty strong hand overall, the likes of, you know, Master of Foxhound. So I think he'll appreciate having a little more distance to, you know, to work with. But, you know, the race goes through Beyond Brilliant. He loves his course. He's 2-for-2 here. He's been freshened since the Whittingham, and he's gonna take some beating in here.
You know what I just noticed, actually. Tarantino with that maiden win over the course going back 2 years, that just sort of caught my eye at first glance. I didn't notice that coming out of the American himself. Haven't done the heavy work on it, but it looks like a fun betting affair, the Eddie Reed. Well, Jay, up and running and getting going at Del Mar and off to a wonderful start. So looking forward to tracking the home game from this point forward.
Very much so. Glad to be here, and it's going to be a fun meeting, as we saw with the field sizes and the quality of the racing. I mean, the racing office here is on it, and I can't say enough about the work that David Jerkins and Tom Robbins do. They're just terrific, and This circuit is lucky to have them.
Lucky to catch up with Jay Privman, DRF Privman, and the action at Del Mar, and, of course, Thoroughbred LA as well for Jay for the Saturday show. And we'll talk next week. Jay, thanks so much.
All right, Steve. Thank you.
Jay Privman, everybody, and trying to do my best to net out the music, the ambient music here at Saratoga. Callie Francois is going to join us for a couple of minutes, and we'll get a glance at Laurel's action. And I don't think she's going to be able to be there. She's in Nebraska with a family passing. And best wishes to her and the Francoise. We'll talk momentarily, but then James Scully to the top of the hour, and we'll get James's plays on the weekend, and Nick Tamaro ahead. I mentioned David Harrison is going to join us live in person. And then we'll close out the morning with Papo, who I haven't talked to in almost 2 weeks. We couldn't connect last week. And so we'll catch up with Papo, do some form to win, and get some ideas. So, Callie Francois first. And let me pull out the... There we go. Here's the laurel. And I think we're going to... I don't know if we're going to get back. We probably won't get back to Del Mar. Yeah, I don't think there's anything... I don't think there's anything else. So, let's... Stay organized. That's the watchword. And I guess I guess I'll take the opportunity to also mention, if you didn't hear Pat McKenna, and I noticed that when I was walking in this morning, it is a giveaway day. Picnic blankets. So bring the family and stock up on stocking stuffers. There's Callie Francois joining us. And Callie, first off, I'm so sorry about your Graham's passing.
Oh, yes. Thank you so much. To be honest, she's in a much better place. I'm very happy for her, and I'm happy that I actually get the opportunity to see my family right now. So, no, it's funny when between... So, for those listening, I sent Steve a text saying, hey, I'm going to be in the shower, so if you don't... You know, if you guys call and I don't answer right away, have a commercial ready. But, so... Steve, I'm in mid-shower. I just put my conditioner on, and all of a sudden I get a call on my phone, and I say, oh, here we go. And so, long story short, I quickly rush out of the shower. It's not you. It's my sister-in-law saying, hey, what top are you wearing to Stella's this morning? and then I get a text from Steve, guys, giving me a great pair of jeans that would, he just, where did that come? I just want to know where that fashion sense came from, because those pair of jeans would go perfectly with the top that I was going to be wearing today.
I thought that you'd appreciate that. That's funny. always looking out for...
with the fashion sense. I love it.
Always looking out for the regulars. I didn't realize you were a Nebraska native, or that the family Nebraska is the, you know, the home
so,
for.
I'm a Wisconsinite, but my dad's okay. There's a slew of us. I have a lot of family. We're headed over to, for those listeners, if any of you are in Nebraska, specifically Omaha, head on over to Stella's. They're the best burger in Omaha whenever you come and find yourself in Nebraska. So be sure to head on over there, because we're headed over there pretty darn soon. But no, it's a big size. I have a ton of family over in Nebraska. In fact, back when a couple of years ago, my dad had an Iowa bred. And he ran it in the Iowa Oaks, and I flew over to ride the Philly, and it was a great experience, because a good portion of the family got to come and watch me ride, which was so fun. So no, a lot of more things than you know are happening out here in the Midwest.
I love it, and things are, as we talk, typically. When it comes to Fonner and the situation. In Nebraska, there's going to be an expanded gaming and some very good days ahead. I mean, there still is the between Fonner and then that fair circuit, Columbus and some of the other small stops. But there's some good things ahead again in Nebraska, and it's one of the great tragedies really in the game that. Exarban, you know, went away. I got to go there one time, and it seemed.
Yeah.
I mean, the seemed the way people talk about Arlington. I mean, Exarban was the Arlington of the Midwest. I mean, it's a fabulous track, and at one time, regularly in the top 10 in handle, in the country. I mean, they love the game in Nebraska.
They do. They love the game in Nebraska, which is again, hopefully some things to. Good things to come for racing in Nebraska and that area in the Midwest. So definitely.
Well, they love the game in Maryland, and passed through Ocean City. Actually, had a fabulous. I'll push them again. OCM Crabs, right on Ocean Drive in Ocean City. Unbelievable. This would have been Wednesday after we left Chincoteague. Had a Maryland pass through.
Which I'm so jealous of, by the way.
And we stayed in Rehoboth Wednesday night, so we made the most. I'm gonna say something that is, I was shocked myself. Tina and I were driving early Wednesday morning from Williamsburg to Chincoteague, and I saw, you know, a sign, a billboard or something, and it said, you know, Delmarva's, you know, favorite, you know, auto dealer or whatever it said.
Okay.
And it was like an epiphany, and I realized that I never had connected what Delmarva meant. Delaware, Maryland, Virginia.
Oh my gosh. I had no idea.
How I could not know that, it's just amazing. It was just kind of the weirdest thing. And it was like 4 o'clock in the morning that we were doing this, 4:30, and I said, "Oh my God!" I said, "I've heard Delmarva referred to, and I always thought it was, you know, part of the Outer Banks somehow or something like Salisbury." I realized what the letter and the anagram basically was, the amalgamation. Delaware, Maryland, Virginia.
Steve, let me tell you, if you wouldn't have said it, there's a reason I highlight my hair blonde. I would not have gotten it. So thankfully I have you to come up with these and connect the dots for me. So thank you for that.
There you go. You won't get caught unawares, you know, by anybody at Laurel or Pimlico or at Timonium. I know you're not going to be on hand, obviously, but you certainly looked, right. You know, looked at the fields. Let's just give everybody, you know, a little handle on this nice stake sequence tomorrow at Laurel. The Miss Disco and the Jamila, the Star de NASCAR, the Ben's Cat, and the $100,000 depew to testimony. It's a nice, you know, it's a nice Saturday afternoon at Laurel Park tomorrow.
It is. You know, I'm proud of the office for getting together some nice stakes races when there's racing. This is the highlight of the season everywhere. So yes, great, pretty good card. We've got there are some that are there's one or two races that we're going to get into that are a little chalky, but there's a couple that have some nice prices that I have for you that I have some faith behind, Steve. I know you always appreciate that.
Well, dive in and you know, pick a couple of spots.
Okay, Miss Disco. So I think the speed Russell horse is going to be sent. So Royal Whisper as a default, the Hammy Smith horse is intriguing. Charming Way at 8-1 needs just a little bit of racing luck. I love the cutback in distance. So just talk to Madison. Philly's going very, very well. I've always been a fan of the Philly. She's had some trying trips. So with that post, I think overall that's going to be a nice little a price if you want to go for a price in that race. I'm going against Divine. I'm trying to kind of go against Divine Huntress a little bit in that race. Race number six in the Jamila Stakes. Fertile Lynch gets some nice run out of Spun Glass. So I'm going with Spun Glass. As far as the other Mike Trombetta horse, I'm a huge fan of Elination. Huge fan of Elination. Trying to come back and win the Jamila again since it was in Pimlico last year. I'm just starting to feel like this filly will run, but just not sure if I like any kind of inside trip with her. I think her timeline is peaking. If you look back when she comes back off of the layoff, as far as April last year, she's starting to get into that 3-4 race off of the layoff where I think she really does peak. So at 8-1, another 8-1 shot, she could be well at that. Can the Queen, I think that's the obvious horse to go for in this race. I don't trust Dendrobe at all, but Victor Carrasco back on Can the Queen, I really, really like that. He's going to get an excellent ride out of her. And the stars in the NASCAR, Super Love, that's, everybody's hot on this horse for a reason. I think every time Super Love has come up to a little bit of challenge, has answered the challenge very, very well. I'm just looking forward to see that colt run big time for Damon Deal DeVico. A lot of hope. Had a bit of an unfortunate trip in the Concern Stakes, so I love A Lot of Hope as well. Again, still ran well out of that really nice effort in the Chick Lang, but again, didn't quite get the trip. Toledo, I think, will fit this horse very, very well. The others, I know Alum Josie is very, very sharp. I'm just worried about how long that sharpness is going to last, but Xavier Perez will make the most of it. I'm leaning off a little bit of Uncle Irish. I think Uncle Irish is good for this race, but I'm just seeing a couple of horses that are a little bit stronger in the Benz Cat. That's going to be such a fun race to watch. You've got Jackson, who's going to be going for it. You have Grateful Bread on the outside, who's probably going to be going for it as well. But youngest of five at 8-1, absolutely love that spot for this Hugh McMahon runner. Needed a little bit of the time off, just has had so much bad racing luck, and this horse still runs despite that. I'm not concerned about the turf at all. All of the other half-siblings have won or done well on the turf, with the only exception of Making It, who was sent in a mile and three-eighths first asking on the turf, so and was still third, so I'm giving that horse a little bit of reprieve. But for a price, youngest of five, outside post, shouldn't be getting into any trouble. I love Jaime Rodriguez. I think Jaime Rodriguez is a very clever rider, and fitting with a horse like Youngest of Five, who has had some trouble tripped with, I'm going to be quite frank, not so great rides. I have not liked the rides that I've seen on Youngest of Five. Love Jaime Rodriguez on the outside. In the Deputed Testimony, you could press the all button if you really wanted to, but just for a little bit of prices, Riding with Biden on the rail, I don't like the rail spot for Riding with Biden, but Robert Reed, Frankie Pennington, they just won a nice stakes here 2 weeks ago, and they're an excellent team together. They just witnessing them in the winner's circle after that win 2 weeks ago in that nice stakes win, they have a great partnership and synergy going with that. I am a big fan of Plot the Dots at 4-1. I think this horse needs every 45 days, and he's getting that about that time today, so I'm getting it. This horse is always knocking on the door, always hard trying. He's definitely not the turf type. I never thought he was. I gave him a chance when he ran on the turf last time, but with the way this horse moves, he's an out-and-out dirt horse. So at 4-1, I do love him at 4-1. And then Treasure Trove, that Norman Cash, this is the type of horse that Norman Cash could bank off really well, as this horse has been on the upswing a little bit in the Farrier Barn and just trying to take advantage of that, I think, as well. So I think that concoction, while Norman Cash he's 10% first after claim as a barn trend stat lately, but I do like that. And then even more, Commandeer, that's an interesting horse at 10-1. I love this horse as an individual off of a bit of this layoff pattern. He gets a little bit of a break. This horse was sent away trying to gun for it in the Grasshopper. That's not the way this horse operates. Some nice work coming in off of that. So those are my prices for a couple of these races, a couple of nice stakes that we had in Maryland on Saturday.
Terrific. Terrific. As you went through this, and I had glanced at the PPs, the more you look at this, this is a nice sequence, and well worth looking. You do have not an all-stakes pick five, but the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, the last five of the day, and it ends with a 16-claimer turf sprinting, a field of seven. But you got the four stakes, and they're all worth a glance, no doubt. Well, Callie, wanted to touch base, and I'm glad you're able to carve out a few for us, and best to the family on the circumstances, and we'll catch up with you when you get home.
Absolutely.
Looking forward.
Absolutely.
Right?
Thank you, Steve. It's a celebration of life for my grandma, Lorraine Kennedy, so I'm looking forward to spending that time celebrating her with my family. And I will catch you on the flip side. Are you up in Saratoga at all?
Oh, yeah. I live here. Yeah. Now I'm in for the rest of the meet.
Of course you do. Of course. you've been doing a little bit of traveling and it's throwing
yes.
me off. But I think I might be up there next week, so I'll hit you up.
Outstanding. Well, I was going to ask you if there was a window for you to come visit.
I think I might be there next week. We'll see what happens. But I'll hook you up. But yeah, thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
Callie Francois, who you follow at Miss Francois number 2 U. Miss Francois to you. And of course, Callie with the Learn Horse Racing Project, where she walks through the handicapping of a race and the first one, the big one with Andy Serling, really well received, and also one with Jess Paquette. I've done one with her, and so has CJ Milkowski, and they continue to come out and get edited and mounted. And so the next time we'll talk, we'll get an update on that as well. Scully's going to join us next. We got to get James in here and get his plays. Hammer just reached out, and he's wandering the backside of Del Mar. He's back in California, and he's got some time before having to come here. He's going to apparently be here. Maybe we talked the other day. We were driving, and Hammer said he probably is going to have almost a 2-week stint. Here. He always comes around the sale. And then I saw his man, Mike Dempsey, at Monmouth. Dempsey will be up. So Hammer on his way here. And then he'll get set to head to Kentucky Downs, as will we. And looking forward, I'm still firming up all the specifics. But we're going to probably do that Wednesday, Thursday, Friday before the Keeneland sale, and then hoping to do a couple of days at Keeneland at the sale, the first 2 days in book one, then back to Kentucky Downs, and then over to Churchill the last 2 days. So fun, should be a fun, almost a two-week run, it looks like. That I told Tina. Tina said, are we home? I said, yes. I said, we're home until Labor Day. And she has to go to school the day after Labor Day. So she's really home. Although we usually do something for our anniversary. And actually, we've been trying to figure out a way to get her to Nashville. We drove through Nashville on our way. Yeah, in the spring, on my way to Derby, we just kind of, skirted Nashville. But she's been once, and she wants to go back. So maybe we'll tie that into the Kentucky Downs concept. James Scully joining us. And James, good morning.
Morning, Steve.
James, let's just get into it and get some thoughts. How'd your prior week, Haskell and everything else go?
Well, I mean, I thought the Haskell was a dynamite race. My weekend really, it would have been a winning weekend. I had, Super Sensational, who missed by head at odds in the crest. And then I really keyed down on Taiba. I faded Jack Christopher. I bet him in big straight exactas over Cyberknife and White Abario. So that head setback cost me a winning day, but I was close.
Yeah,
and I think both horses are set up. I think both horses are set up well for the second half of the year. Cyberknife is getting good at the right time for Brad Cox. Taiba. To me, the difference between those two and the Haskell was the fact that after the Derby, Cyberknife had that prep in the mat win. Taiba trained up to that race, and he came up a little bit short at a mile and an eighth, but he'll gain a ton out of it and be all the better for it going forward.
That's another thing. We haven't even really, even though there's already been one run back, at least up here, that's another thing when we look at these meets, particularly with Saratoga and Del Mar, can't leave out Ellis either. But particularly for these two, not only do you have to just evaluate what you saw, but you're also watching now. You can start to prepare for horses running back, and you know that's one of the invaluable parts of Saratoga and Del Mar, and having being in a position to capitalize when when horses that you liked either were compromised by trip or pace or whatever condition. So be on the lookout for bet backs and for bet against.
Yeah, I will. I'll start with Del Mar. I'll hit a few races at Del Mar. Hit a couple races at Saratoga. I'll hit the Amsterdam real quickly for Sunday. The Breeders' Cup Juvenile has been the biggest negative key race in the United States over the last year, and we'll give my thoughts on that, and then a last second Friday pick. Starting at Del Mar on Saturday in race number 9. Bob Hess is a guy I always like pay a little bit of attention to at Del Mar. He got off to a real slow start, 8 starts, no top 3 finishes. But he got off the schneid last night with Little Damon, who looked real good, posting a convincing win. And I like number 3, One Fast Pro, in race number 9 at Del Mar on Saturday. This 5-year-old gelding just loves Del Mar. Both about Del Mar's turf. Both of his wins have come on Del Mar's turf. And he came back this year, ran sort of a flat effort at Santa Anita, and his last 2 efforts are much better. He ran against a couple really nice horses in his race 2 starts back at Aqueduct. Both horses came back and won allowances next out. That third last time going a mile was a good setup for this. Oh, no, this isn't Bob Hess. I'm sorry. This is Shelby Ruse. I got another Bob Hess horse coming up. Sorry. But One Fast Bro is the horse that I do love in this race number 9, 6-1 in race 9 at Del Mar.
We got it, 6-1 with Ryan Curtolo.
Right, Ryan Cotolo. And the race before that, in race number 8, the Bing Crosby, that's going to be one of my strongest plays. You know, Steve, I love horses stepping up in good form into spots where I think that they're winnable spots, and they're going to offer good value. And number 3, Bag Boss, really hits that to T. I love his positional speed. He led wire to wire 2 starts back in the Kentucky Derby week at Churchill, and then he came right back a month later last time out. Really loved his turn of foot last time. He's really progressing, this 4-year-old coltish for Brendan Walsh. And, his rivals in this Bing Crosby with stakes that are stakes winners. I just really question whether they're in the best form right now. Obviously, number 2, Shiaz, is going to be his main rival, Baffert's Colt. But, he's going to be favored. Bag Boss is going to offer a little bit of value. And I just think Bag Boss's last 2 efforts were stronger than Shiaz's. So I'm giving him the edge in the Bing Crosby, and I plan on betting him.
I talked about him earlier this morning, and also with Shap. He jumped off the page at me, James.
Yeah. And then I'll turn to the San Diego handicap. Jay Pridman touched on it, I thought, whereby, Country Grammar, I got nothing but good things to say about him. Ever since, he's ran twice last year. Both of them were really good efforts. Ran twice this year. Both of them, I thought, were terrific efforts. And, he's the horse to beat, and if he wins, it won't surprise me. But a mile and a 16th might just be a little bit too short for him. And, there's not a lot of speed in here. I think number 2, Defunded, is going to, if he gets clear and is controlling the action with Cedillo, he's in good enough form where he's got a chance to steal this race. And I do think there's a legitimate shot for a 1-2 Baffert finish with Defunded leading wire to wire.
My man Siaka coming by, James. I got to see. He distracted me a minute. I'm sorry. Yeah, no. He's oblivious. He starts talking at me. Luckily, I had the mic muted, trying to keep the music out of out of people's head. It's a fun sequence here, and so you the 8th, 9th, 10th. Some help from James for the pick 3 on the Del Mar Saturday card.
At Saturday, obviously, I'll go over like a pick 3 there at Saturday at Saratoga. Just starting with the Vanderbilt, I mean, everybody's going to be using Jackie's Warrior. It's going to be on like 99% of the tickets. I am a little intrigued by New York traffic. I'm still going to like, I'm still wouldn't throw Jackie's Warrior off of tickets, but I like the fact that New York traffic has some back class. He's earned almost 900,000 and he has just really come on at sprints. He's won four straight starts at 7 furlongs or less. You know, by pretty much by open lens. He beat a really nice horse last time going 6 furlongs at Penn National. That Baron came back and looked really good, went into the Francis Dash by 3 lengths in his next start. And I just think that horse, you know, one thing about Jackie's Warrior, he just hasn't really run against good horses. The sprint division, I think it's the thinnest division in racing this year. And, you know, If anybody's going to beat him in that spot, it's going to be NY Traffic because he's just moving forward for Sappy Joseph.
Well, and I mentioned earlier that one thing that's clear is that Joseph has kind of reimagined him, and you know this is a scenario that you know the horses. When the three-year-old seasons run, everybody's got the classics on their mind, and you know, the horse with talent either is competitive or you know may win early season three-year-old races. Well, long term, horses need to do what they were cut out to do, and it very well may be that this is his, you know, this is his trip, and this is what he wants to do.
Yeah, for sure. And then just looking at the Jim Dandy, I mean, to me, really, like horses like Zandon and Connie Ford, they just need to be finishing with interest. I think the pace is going to be real moderate in there. I think Epicenter off of the freshening is going to revert back to showing the speed he did earlier this year when he was real sharp from the gate in the LeCompte Stakes and the Risen Star Stakes at Fairgrounds. They intentionally, Rosario took a hold of him in Louisiana Derby. They were trying to raid him in the Derby, and he missed the start in the Preakness. But he's got a ton of natural quickness, Epicenter does. He's been training, like, sharply, and I just think he's going to break running from the inside post. I don't think Jose Ortiz is going to be looking to duel head and head. And I got Epicenter early voting running 1-2 in the Jim Dandy, and then the Traverse will be a completely different setup, different race.
And speaking of which, and I do see that Holly and Michelle Ravencraft sent out the Beat Bic listing, and the page is live. This is week 3 of the Beat Bic opportunity. Get qualified for September 17th for the final. And, of course, not only the opportunity to get to the NHC as the Beat Bic representative, but the $1 million bonus potential for the Beat Bic winner. If you can parlay it into the NHC championship, and the NHC champion is going to join us in hour 3, David Harrison. If you do it, you're going to win the $700,000, but also $1 million bonus. So my picks, by the way, I picked Epicenter in the Jim Dandy. That's the race, and I thought about using a race like the San Diego. But I said, you know what? Let's narrow it down and make it. You know, make it very focused. And, of course, there's only going to be 4 running because Western River is running today. Rudy Brissett running Western River in the Curlin today. So Epicenter, Tawny Port, early voting, Zandon. So I thought it was an interesting spot to use as the Beat Bic race. So I went with Epicenter, and if you come with me and he wins, you're qualified. If you go against and you pick the winner, if it's Zandon, early voting, or Tawny Port, you not only do you qualify, if you aren't yet a tour member, you get to join for $10, which is a terrific deal. That's been one of the most appealing parts, frankly, of this contest. This is our 3rd year doing it, and I should mention from last week before we move forward more with James, let me get the numbers because I didn't report this. Last weekend we had huge participation, 962 entries on Saturday with 160 winners, and then Sunday 955 entries, 296 winners. So another of that group, we ended up with now actually 2 weeks. We've got 593 qualified for the final. So actually the numbers are really on track with what we have done the last couple of years. Great way to get involved into a chance to win a seat. All right, James, continue.
Yeah, race 10 at Saratoga tomorrow. This is my last one at tomorrow. I just got number 12, Steve, as being vulnerable. I mean, $2 million tap at Colt. Won his debut at 5-1 by 5 lengths. I just don't think he's moving forward off of that at post 12. I like Orchestration. You know, it doesn't look like he'll be favored for Chad Brown. He wins all the time with horses like this. And I just loved his race last year at Saratoga. And, you know, I think he'll be set for another big effort tomorrow. In Sunday's Amsterdam, the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, 9 of the 11 horses have come back, ran again. They are 0-9. 4 of them have lost as a favorite. Corniche had everything on his own way on the lead in all his races last year. Me, Pinehurst is the speed. He was extremely tied on in the San Vicente and the Saudi Cup earlier this year, just showed high speed that he didn't show it to in both of those starts. In the mile and 3/16 UAE Derby was just too far for him. He's coming back, working bullets for Terranova. He's got to go from the rail post with Pratt. I'm going to make a bet on Pinehurst wire to wire in Sunday's Amsterdam, Steve.
Interesting. Well, that's my other race on Sunday, because Papa Cap's presence in there, and I think it's a very competitive group. Papa Cap is the logical stalker type behind
Chad Brown
Pinehurst.
Chad Brown has that horse in there that looks sort of interesting, that accredit.
Yep.
And,
yep.
Yeah, and then I got a last second Friday play today at Del Mar. Race number 3, number 6, High Heater, Bob Hess. Start around. And High Heater, he returned to the right level today. Really a sharp effort in the past. Got claimed 2 starts back, but was facing tougher this summer. Returned to the right level, runs a big race. Number 6, High Heater, 6-1, race 3 at Del Mar.
There it is, 8 o'clock Eastern Time, 5 o'clock Pacific. It's the last second Friday push, the LSFP, from James underscore Scully, 111, Twinspires and Brisnet. And James, good luck this weekend. We'll talk next week ahead of Whitney.
Steve, always a pleasure.
James Scully, everybody. And We'll send it to the break. We've got Hammer and Nick Tamaro. We've got expecting a visit from Dave Harrison, your NHC champion, and Papo. So we got plenty to do in hour 3, live from Saratoga, back home and home for good. I promise. I've been beaten up enough, first typically by Andy Serling and even this morning by Pat McKenna. Sirius XM at the Races weekend preview brought to you by Twin Spires. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Thoroughbred horse racing is back in Virginia as Colonial Downs conducts its More Racing, More Money summer season presented by Woodford Reserve. An early week racing schedule and average daily purses of $625,000. The 9-week meet runs from July 11th through September 7th with racing every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45 p.m. Wager on Colonial's 50-cent pick 5 with a low 12% takeout and a new carryover provision. All races will be broadcast on TVG this summer. Colonial Downs racing Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45 p.m.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full-service facilities from the foaling barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Leader Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just